going on in people's minds? And if you're like, have a friend that like is always kind of, and you're like, what are you thinking right now? You're so crazy. I got lots of friends like that. Like all the guys on this stage, I always wonder what's going through their heads. Like, what are they doing? What are they thinking? Tonight, first of all, welcome sixth graders that are now seventh graders. Welcome to Firehouse. Yeah. We're so pumped you guys are here, and I'm so sorry that it's like lockdown right now, but or at least it feels that way, but we're going to make sure you guys are loved. We want you to know that you belong here, that we're so glad you're here, and it's going to get better. It can only get better from here, right? So it's going to be more and more fun every week. I'm Pastor Rob, if you don't know, and I look forward to getting to learn all your names before the night's over and find out who you guys are and find out what's going on in your heads. So tonight we're starting a new series now that we're back, and it's called Lose Your Mind, all right? And it's not like lose your mind, just go crazy and start doing dumb things. It's lose your mind, and you're going to see why in a minute, why Paul tells us that we need to do that. But as we kind of get into this, you guys, do you have Bibles tonight, anybody? Bring a Bible. If not, it's okay. We get screens. We get screens. And there's some Bibles if you really want, like a Bible to look at. There's one back there you can grab. But we're in Philippians chapter 2 tonight. And as we get into Philippians 2, I got to tell you about this. Can you guys put that one picture up real quick? So I go to Guatemala a lot, and I bring mission trips there, and I take students from Firehouse, and we go. That's me. And we go, and we went to the jungle this time. We go to the jungle a lot. And we got out to the jungle, and the roads, it rained a lot. And when it rains in the jungle, it's hard to drive around the roads to like go to the villages that you're checking out and trying to like share Jesus with. So we couldn't go anywhere. We're like stuck in this camp where we were at, and we couldn't get out because the roads, we had to like wait for them to get fixed. So the kids are just like sitting around, and we're like looking at each other like, what do we do? So I thought, I know what we can do. And so I came up with this plan, and that's me. I'm holding a spear. You see my awesome spear? I made that myself. So I got all these like big sticks, and I give it to all the people on our team, right? All our students. And we got machetes, and we started whittling the end of that spear and making our own really sharp spears to go hunting this really, really awesome bird called a tepesquintly. Can you say that? Tepesquintly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so it's like this little fat bird that's so delicious when you cook it over an open fire. So, but they're really hard to catch. They're squirrely little birds. They run on you, so you got to get in their heads. You got to figure out how to hunt this bird. So I got everybody, and we got all our spears, and we went out into the woods. That's me. I'm like standing on a rock, and I'm like, all right, we can do this. Who's with me? And everybody's like, yeah, let's go. And we were like so excited to go hunt these tepesquintlies. But one thing I didn't tell them was that tepesquintlies don't exist. I was just trying to give us something to do, right? Because we were really bored. So I figured maybe they exist. Maybe they're out there. A tepesquintly is actually this oversized rodent that they eat in Guatemala. They're like big hamsters, and they're so delicious. So I just used that name. But anyway, the point was it was a lot of fun. And when you go hunting, you got to get in the minds of that thing you're hunting, right? Because they're squirrely, and you got to figure out what they're thinking so that you can track them down. And as we're getting into the passage tonight, we're talking about getting the mind of Jesus. And so, like, there are a lot of you here tonight. I see some of you guys I've baptized, some of you guys I've heard that you love Jesus. You've told me that, and that you're following Jesus. And so if that's you tonight, and you're like, yeah, I want to follow Jesus, I want to tell you that this verse, these verses we're looking at, tell us that if you're going to follow Jesus, you need to be able to get in Jesus' mind. You need to know where he's going. You need to be able to track Jesus down. And the best way to do that is to get his mind in you. And so I want to read for you guys. It's going to be on the screens. You can read with me Philippians 2, verses 1 to 11. And we're just looking at two of those verses tonight. We're going to kind of move through this over the next couple weeks. But let's read the whole thing first. It says this: so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only on your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves. You hear that? Which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we're going to be camping out in this passage over the next few weeks, and we're going to be just walking through this mind that Paul is telling us we need to have that belongs to Jesus. Because you and I want to follow Jesus. And to do that, we need to have his mind in us. And a lot of us, what it means is we need to trade this mind that we have that's been broken by sin. This mind that focuses on worldly things, this mind that is so distracted by other stuff, we need to trade that one in and take the mind of Jesus that's humble and full of love and seeking unity and have that mind. And so look how it starts. We're just looking at verse 1. It says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ. Now, you got to know what Paul's doing here. He's saying, so if there's any. So when I was a little kid, how many of you guys like pie? Anybody like pie? I love pie. What's your favorite pie?
Peanut butter.
Oh, yes. What else? What else? Any other favorites? Oh, you're like a traditional pie person. Nice. Anyone else? Anybody like raspberry pie? Oh, what? Raspberry pie is so good. Anyway, I like all pie pretty much, so it doesn't really matter what's in it. It's delicious. So when I was a little kid, I lived on this awesome street, and one of our neighbors was this lady who was like, she had to be the best chef in the world, in my opinion. I don't know. But every Saturday, you'd walk down the street. I'd go to my friend's house to play, and I'd be walking down the street, and I'd be like, you know, like the old nose is tracking down the smell. You're like, what is that? Yeah. And I could tell some delicious pie was being cooked. And so I would look over and I'd see this woman, and she's like in her house, and her kitchen had like a front window right to the street that was always open. And she's on like at the counter. You could see she was making pie. And you could smell the pie that she had already made, and she'd have it like sitting out to cool. And it was like, I felt like it was like on the Andy Griffith Show. I don't know if you guys even know what that is, but when I was little, like it was an old show. So it's like ancient. I don't even know if you could still find it. It might be in like archives somewhere, hidden under in caves. I don't know. Or on Netflix, that too. Yeah, whatever. So you guys know what I'm talking about, right? So it was like Aunt Bea or whatever making pie. And that's what it felt like. And so I started to get wise to this trick she had, that every Saturday there was going to be a delicious pie. And I'd talk to her. You know, why not? I'm walking by. I'd be like, how you doing today? Yeah. You need anything? No, you good? And really all I was saying is, hey, you got some pie? You know, like one of those things. So I was hoping she would offer me pie. And finally one day she's like, would you like a piece of pie? And I was like, if you have any, I guess I'll take some. You know, like I knew I was walking by there every Saturday till I got my piece of pie. And that's what Paul's doing here. He's like, I know you have this. But if there's any of it, and what he's saying is that if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have this. It's available to you. And he wants you to walk by asking for this sweet, delicious thing that Jesus offers you, this awesome mind that you can have in Christ. He wants you to crave it, and he's like, you already have it available to you. It's already offered if you are following Jesus. This is how your mind should think, because Jesus is going to get in there and do some really cool things in you. And he's going to make you like him. So it's not really him asking the question, is this possible? He's saying it really is. If there's any of this, right? And here's what he says. Any encouragement in Christ. And what that really means, if you look into that, what that means is that it talks about like this stirring someone up to do something. You ever got stirred up to do something? You're sitting in class and you're super bored, and one of your friends, like the class clown, and gets the whole class going, and you guys can't stop laughing. You're just like, stop laughing. You're like, yeah, I just can't. And like, it's worse. It's one of those things. It's crazy. And you're all just like, start doing crazy stuff because that one person just riled y'all up. That's what this is. My dog's like this. I'll be sitting on my couch and my dog, Brady, he's a little nutcase. I love him though. And he'll just sit on my couch and he'll be like snoring. He's the loudest snorer. I've been on the phone with people and he starts snoring like, whoa, what was that? I'm like, this is my dog. Like, your dog snores like a man. It's crazy. So he's laying there snoring. And if I say one thing to him that's like kind of like energetic, like, hey, bud, how you doing? He will just jump up his ears. He's got floppy ears, but they'll go beep. You know, and then it'll be like, what? And then he jumps up and now he's like bouncing off the walls, just going nuts, jumping over my couch, going crazy because I stirred him up. And so now I know, don't talk to the dog, you know, or you're going to get jumped on. But like, that's what this is. This thing that happens in you when you see Christ and the love that he has for you and what he's done for you on the cross. And then it stirs you up to be like, I want to live for you. It changes you. Something about it is exciting and awesome, and it encourages your heart to go, I want to live just like Jesus. Because Jesus died on a cross for me, and Jesus rose again from the dead, and Jesus promises to empower me to live for him. I want to do that. And then I get excited, and then I get stirred up to action. Encouragement in Christ is what I get. And there are believers that, like, they follow Jesus, they know they're saved, but here's what they do. They stay on the couch. They don't get stirred up to action. They just sit there, and Paul's encouraging us. Listen, this is already yours. This is the pie in the window. Like, get stirred up. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Get up and live for him. Get off the couch and be stirred to action, because he's already given you this. And look at what the next phrase says here. And comfort, any comfort from love. You know, you're not supposed to just get off the couch yourself. We need some godly leaders today. Have you seen our world? Have you looked around you lately? Have you watched the news? Got online? It's crazy. We need some godly leaders that are going to stand up of all ages, not just old people leading, your age leading, stepping up and leading your peers, saying things, speaking up for what's right, being stirred to do the right thing because of what Jesus has done. And I want to tell you tonight that if you follow Jesus, he's calling you to step up to action and be godly leaders wherever he's put you, whether it be your school or some online community or wherever you game in your Discord server, or whether it's at Firehouse, wherever it might be. Maybe it's in your own home or your neighborhood. God's calling you to be a godly leader. He wants to stir you up to action with the mind of Jesus, so you live for Christ in your community. Any comfort from love. Now, the cool thing about Jesus' love is it's comforting, because you and I can look to the cross and go, you know what? I know where I'm going when I die. I don't have to be scared, because I know that I have a big, huge, strong God who's on my side, who loves me, who sent his only son to die for me on a cross. So I could face any giant that comes my way. You know why? Because God's got my back. I have the promise of eternal life in Jesus, and that's comforting. It gives me peace. And I don't know about you, but sometimes, like, even doing what we're doing tonight with the chairs all weird and, like, all these rules, having to go to Publix and, like, wear masks and all this stuff, that could be nerve-wracking for people. That can be, like, a little intimidating. That can make some people nervous. And I know there are a lot of nervous people out there right now. But you and I have something stronger than any of that. We could find comfort in the love of God. Promises to keep us as his children, to protect us, to love us, to give us eternal life if we trust in him. And that empowers us to do things that are outside of our capability. You can be stronger than you are, because now you're operating the strength of God. And I just want to challenge you tonight. Rest in the love of Jesus. Be comforted by his love. Find peace in the fact that Jesus loves you and calls you his child if you trust in him. And he's going to protect you. He's going to give you strength to do things you couldn't do on your own. But he also does this. He asks you to show that love to others. And you're comforted by the love of Christ. It says we love because he first loved us. He wants you to love other people. Like, the Bible says that the world will know us as his followers by the way we love each other. And so as he comforts you with his love, are you loving others? Because when I look here, it doesn't say just the people that look just like you. Just the people that like the same sports as you. Just the people who, you know, you get along really well with. Just the people who are nice to you. And as you get older, just the people that vote the same way as you, or think the same way as you. It says love others, which causes us to want to love everyone that God has put around us, because Jesus loves everyone that he's put around us. And you bring comfort to them through the love of Christ. You share the gospel that can give them peace if they trust in it. And don't be selective with who that is, but love all of those people, even your own enemies. And then he says this next. You ready for this one? He says, any participation in the Spirit. And what this means here is that, like, you're interacting, you have this relationship with the Holy Spirit. You guys know who the Holy Spirit is? Anybody? Raise your hand. I know who the Holy Spirit is. All right, so a lot of you do. The Holy Spirit is part of God. It is God himself. God has three people. This is going to blow your mind. Ready? It's called the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're three, but they're one God. Fireworks coming out, right? Okay, so the Holy Spirit is one of the peoples of God. He's part of the Trinity. And what he does is he lives in you. He seals you. He guarantees that as you place your trust in Jesus, that you belong to God. You will never lose your salvation. You will always be guaranteed to him as his child. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And he does something else that's really cool. He helps guide you and direct you and tell you where to go. He helps tell you what to do. He helps convict you of sin when you're tempted. He helps give you strength to do the things God's asked you to do. Like, he's your best friend. The Bible says he walks with you at all times. Like, he lives inside of you to empower you to live for Jesus. And here's the cool thing. This verse is saying that when you participate with him, when you engage with the fact that God is living inside of you, some really incredible things happen. So if you believe in Jesus, I want to ask you this. Do you acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is living in you? And are you engaging with him on a daily basis? Are you praying? Are you talking? Are you listening to what he says to you as you go throughout your day and as you're having conversations with people? He's like, hey, Rob, I want you to talk to that person. Tell him I love him. Am I like, I can't get that. I'm too scared. I'm not going to do that. Or am I trusting? All right, if you said it, Holy Spirit, you're God himself. You have the power to do this. And I walk over and in faith, I do the thing God's asked me to do. I want to encourage you, interact with the Holy Spirit. Don't just let it be the silent relationship that you have with this like dude who lives in you that you just ignore all day long. And it's this awkward, like the awkward roommate you got, maybe your brother and sister, like, you don't interact a lot at home with them. You're like, you stay out of my room. Close the door. Get out. You're like one of those brothers or sisters, you know? That's mine. Is that my shirt? You know, like one of those. Don't treat the Holy Spirit that way. Put your arms around him. Embrace him. Love him. Do life with him every day. Interact with him. Ask God to do big things through you. And believe that he will. Trust him. And when he tells you to do something, say, yes, God, I could do this because your Spirit's in me. You're like, I'm in junior high. I'm not even really in junior high yet until for a couple months. Some of us, there's a lot of people in the Bible younger than you that God used to do unbelievable things. You know why? Because they interacted with the Holy Spirit. Because they trusted that God was doing it and not them. And he could do the same thing through you. So if there's any participation in the Spirit that guarantees your salvation, that's what he's saying. That even in those moments that you might feel powerless, you know? Maybe it feels like the whole world is just burning around us. There's viruses and riots and murder hornets and craziness is going on all over the place. And you know what? Some of us feel powerless. We're like, well, how could I ever stop that? You have a God that is in control. He's stronger than all of it. And he lives in you. Or maybe it's just that sin that you're battling with every day and you know it's wrong, but it has you trapped and enslaved and you can't ever say no or resist and you keep falling back in the same sin over and over. And you feel powerless against that sin in your life. You have a Holy Spirit, God, living inside of you to do battle against that sin. Participate with him. Interact with him. Pray and ask him for strength. Obey him when he speaks. Let him do battle in your life. And finally, the last thing Paul describes here of the pie sitting in the window that he knows we already have if we believe in Jesus, this last pie is any affection and sympathy. And what this means is love. It's like it talks about a tenderness that we have for other people that demonstrates we love Jesus. And again, man, Paul just keeps slamming this home, how important it is to love other people because we're saying we follow Jesus. Well, Jesus is walking the path of love. So if you're not loving, you're not on the path. You're not following him because that's where he's going. He's walking toward love and we're walking this way. We're not following Jesus at all. And so he's saying, man, you should have a tenderness and an affection toward others. And he doesn't just say towards the people like you. I don't know what's going on in y'all's minds when you look at like all this stuff on TV with race issues and protests and things, but I just want to, as we walk through this, I don't want to tell you what to believe. You got a lot of people trying to do that. I don't need to tell you, be another voice of just trying to convince you of something. But you know what I do want to do? I want this passage to help be a framework to teach you how to think about what's going on and come up with a decision on your own based on the Bible. I want the Bible to be able to help direct your thoughts as you form your opinions and be able to trust what God says is true. So don't necessarily listen to me, listen to what's being said here in the Bible. And as you start to look at, hey, how do I love people? How do I love other races? People who don't look like me, who come from different backgrounds. Maybe people who are in a different social class than me financially. Maybe people who go to a different school or live in a different place or speak a different language, but they live right down the road. How do I interact with people like that? People who hang out with a totally different group, like they wear camo and I wear skater clothes. Like, I don't know how that's going to go down. Because Jesus doesn't say love the people like you. Jesus says love people. That includes all of them. So as you're thinking through some of these things out there, and you're hearing people just narrow all these opinions and these arguments down to such like small things, I want you to do this. I want you to look at the Bible and say, this tells me to love all people, including the people who aren't like me. That maybe we have a bigger problem than just what we see on the news. Maybe sin is really the problem here. Sin that's broken every single one of us, and we all need to repent of. That we need minds that think like Jesus. Not just what they're saying, not the loudest voices on Instagram or Facebook, but we need a mind like Jesus. So we can think like our God. Think like the one who we say we follow. And Paul ends, I want to read, that was verse 1. And verse 5 kind of lines up with verse 1. Paul does this really cool thing in this chapter where he kind of like, he uses some examples and then shows how Jesus had that mind. So here's verse 5 lines up with verse 1. I'm going to read it to you. It says this: have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So he says, hey, if you have all these things, Paul says, in that case, you have them because you follow me. And then he lists them all. He says, in that case, have the mind of Christ. If you're truly saved and you follow Christ, then have his mind. And I love, man, I love that he lays it out here and tells you it's already yours. He says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So in case you're like, no, I don't know if I have that. He's like, no, you do. It's already yours. You just have to turn to God and say, Lord, will you do this in me? Will you give me that type of love for people? Will you help me engage with your spirit? Will you cause me to be comforted by your love? Will you let me show that to others? Now, don't miss this piece. He says, have this mind among yourselves. It's not just you by yourself. What he's saying is yourselves. That's plural, right? Like, I'm pretty sure when there's an S on the end of those things, like, it makes it more than one, right? We speak English. So that's us. He's not just saying, Rob Jones, you need to do this. You know what he's saying? You guys need to have this mind among yourselves as a church. That's why we need to come to places like this and talk about this stuff so that we can agree together to live this way as a family, as a church. It's not just us individually doing this. It's us together, coming together to love our community and love our schools and love the people around us together as a team. And show the mind of Jesus as we agree on that, as we all show the same mind. So when people come up and they're like, man, Avery, he just loves people so much. He's always hanging out with people that like I would never expect him to hang with. He's like, that's because I love Jesus. And then they come up and they're like, oh, Zoe, she does the same thing as Avery. That's crazy. And they're like, oh yeah, they go to the same youth group. Oh, everybody there just does that, huh? Yeah, because we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is among us. So no matter who you talk to from our youth group, we're gonna think this way. We're gonna love this way. You know why? Not because Rob thinks that way, but because Jesus does. And Jesus is who we follow. So I want to encourage you guys today, lose your minds and take on the mind of Jesus. Will you pray with me? Father, we love you so much, God. Thank you for letting us come back to be together and see each other's faces tonight. Thank you that we can be in your presence and just sing out with all our hearts and tell you how great you are. Lord, I pray for all these students. I pray for me. I pray for our leaders. Will you give us your mind? Help us to lose our sinful mind, God, and think like you. Cause us to love the people. There's so much hate in the world right now. Will you let us be different? Let us love in unbelievable ways that people don't understand. Let it blow their minds. Because we know it's supernatural, God. We know we can't do it. Only you can. So show off. Show off through us in the way we love. Give us the strength through your Holy Spirit to love the people around us. Father, we pray that these students who are here tonight would be able to leave this place and lead people to saving faith in Jesus. That they can leave here and tell people about how awesome you are, and that those people would get saved and come back and join us. And together we would have your mind. And we would live for you and your kingdom. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.